You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Happy Thursday. Is it bad that I delayed doing this because there's so many questions, it's overwhelming. Thank you, guys. This is going to be a long one, so strap in. I don't know if it'll be 50 minutes like last week, but it probably will be. Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. I am your man on the ground, Isaiah Hull, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. I will be looking less, for those watching, towards the camera and more down here at the computer, because it's the Michigan mailbag and there were like 39 questions or something insane like that. So let's just get right to it, starting with our leaders and best, James Crudup at James Crudup 6. If Cade puts up his season averages for the rest of the season, do you see him entering the draft? No, because I don't think his numbers would necessitate. I don't think that his season averages would get him. He might lose his job in that case. I mean, but to JJ, at the same time, like, he's doing what Michigan's asking him to do, but I don't think it's enough to necessarily find yourself in the NFL draft, right? He's going to need to do more. Michigan's going to need to ask more of him, and I think they will, right? I think that this has gone methodically. I think it's gone exactly how Michigan's kind of wanted it to. They opened up the passing game last week. I think they need to open up the passing game again this week. They're going to have to use it against Michigan State. And if he doubles what he's doing, which I think is certainly possible, then I think things change for him in a hurry. And certainly with JJ waiting in the wings, he might be like, yeah, peace. But, I mean, there's still a long way to go. We've still got more than half the season left, so we'll see how that goes. Josh Barajadicki, why is it hard for our fans to understand we don't play OSU this week? I'll answer that before moving on. I know, right? Like, I like what Joel Klatt's advice was. Hey, Michigan fans, take things one week at a time, right? I get so tired of it. You know, you write an article. I mean, I could write an article about MSU coming up at the end of the month, and people would say, focus less on MSU, focus more on beating Ohio State. It's become a non-running joke with me and my best friend. We're constantly, like, I'll be like, yeah, I've been looking for this thing online, and he's like, you should focus less on looking for this thing online and focus more on beating Ohio State. It's absurd. You can't play Ohio State until the last week of the season. If you're not going to enjoy the journey, then what's the point, right? Ohio State's going to be really, really good for a very long time, because that's what they've been for like 100 years. So enjoy the journey. You know, I'm not Mr. Focus on the Game at Hand as a fan type, but I'm also not like, this type of game is not going to beat Ohio State. It doesn't matter if that type of game is going to beat Ohio State. Teams lose all the time, you know? You see teams lose games they're not supposed to lose all the time. You see, you know, Clemson in 2016 losing to, was it Pitt that year? You know, they lost to Syracuse in 2017. You know, like, that's not a team that Clemson should lose to. So, you know, you take things one, the team is going to take things one game at a time. As a fan, I mean, take what you get while you're getting it, right? That's part of the fun, you know? What's the fun if you just fast forward, you know, like the movie Click with Adam Sandler, just fast forward to the Ohio State game? I understand you don't want to be set up for disappointment, but you got to take things as they come. What's with the location of the press conferences this year? It looks really cheesy that they're outside a random building with a Michigan backdrop taped in a place where no one gets a good audio. It's because of the Michigan policy about wearing face masks and not having personnel that doesn't need to be somewhere. It is what it is. We're outside unless it's raining, and then we're inside Oosterbahn. So we're outside Schembechler Hall, or we're inside Oosterbahn. It is what it is. But, yeah, they're doing their best based off of what the university is mandating. Let me put it that way. Michael Wolf, my brother in metal at MWolf21. Would you like to see Michigan's run pass balance? What would you like to see Michigan's run pass balance this week? Kind of like it was last week, kind of like that 50. I know it didn't end up being 50-50, but they were running at the end to, you know, end the game. I'd like to see something similar, something close to 50-50, because certainly Nebraska's made a concerted effort to stop the run. They're going to certainly try to stop the run. Every team's going to really try to stop the run, right? Which I think is advantageous for the pass game because now you have to respect it. Even if Michigan is just starting to pass like crazy and doesn't run the ball, you have to respect the fact that Michigan can run. You know, like you can't forget, you know, like MSU is like, all right, we want to make, you know, we have a porous pass defense and we want to stop the pass. Michigan will be like, well, we can still run the ball, you know? It was the right move this last week to finally start breaking it out. We'll see what happens from here. Jimmy Whitner at Jimmy Whitner 1. I'm asking, sorry, let me skip ahead here. How have your expectations for the season changed so far? Also, have your preseason order for the standings changed much? I don't remember what I said in my preseason. I know they have because I had MSU last in the division, if not the conference. I thought that Northwestern was going to be a hair better. I think I had Northwestern 6-6. But that's probably not happening. I didn't have any faith in Illinois. That looks like that's paying off. As far as the season expectations, I mean, it's like Anthony Treisch said yesterday. You know, you have to you have to look at this Michigan team as a 10-win team now. So if they beat Nebraska, then there's no excuse for them to not be a 9-win team in the regular season. And, you know, obviously it all depends on that bowl matchup. But I think they'll get at least one between Michigan State, Penn State, and Ohio State. I mean, certainly they could get two. Can't even write off them getting three, depending on, let's see how, if Ohio State continues to look like it has. So expectations are up, right? I had said that 8-4 was my expectation. I was starting to lean towards 9-3. That felt really homerist, but now it's not. So I think it's now 9-3, 10-2. We'll see what happens with Penn State against Iowa, too. I think that's a big thing as well. Number two, if Michigan and MSU are both unbeaten going into their matchup, will this be the biggest game between the two that you can personally remember? I feel like when I initially read that question, I had an answer. Yeah, 2015. 2015 is my answer. Because that was certainly a, you know, if Michigan can come in and knock out, you know, a team that's been really good straight away under Harbaugh's first year. College game day was there. I mean, it's going to be similar. This would probably, if they're undefeated at that point, they very well could both be hovering around the top five, depending on what happens with, you know, obviously Ohio State's ranked ahead of them, but certainly they could be hovering around it. Probably not a lot of teams ahead of them are going to lose, but they certainly could because college football is weird like that. Number three, say what's up to Zuri for me. Where is she? Zuri. Come here. I don't know if you can see her or not. Jimmy says hi. See, she's on the edge of the frame. KRTF Farmer 84, how do you think McDonald will scheme to neutralize the running threat from Martinez? I don't know, but you figure he's probably got a pretty good inside idea. I'm not a schematics person in the sense of I can tell you why something works, but I couldn't tell you what you need to do in order to make it. You know, it's, you know, show, what do you, you know, what do? You show cover one, do you show cover two? I don't know. I don't know the decisions there, but I mean, you figure he has a pretty good idea of what a running quarterback is like from his years with the Baltimore Ravens. So I think that will inform his decision. Obviously, we saw Noah Vedral be able to run the ball, but Josh Ross wasn't in the game, so he wasn't exactly afraid of running in the middle. It'll be interesting to see what they do with Adrian Martinez. Gosh, I've been doing that for months. Brandon at Brandon S616, which position group has surprised you the most so far into the season? Easily linebackers, because I had no idea what to expect there. George Hilo has done a phenomenal job. But the linebackers have been great so far. Even when Josh Ross went out, it took him a minute. Depth isn't crazy big there, right? Because you've just got the two starters and Kalel Mullings and Junior Colson really as your guys. Behind them, it's still a question mark. Joey Velasquez, probably. And like I told you before, Harbaugh told me he could play this year. And we saw him obviously have the big special teams play. But, yeah, that's who surprised me so far. Who do you think will have a breakout type of game this week? A.J. Henning. Just been waiting on it. I think you'll see him more just in general. I think they need him more. A.J. Henning on offense, and I think Aiden, well, he's that's not a breakout. As far as a big game, I think you're going to see a really big game for Aiden just because of the offensive line presented. Same with David Ajabo, who just had his breakout. More likely to happen, 300 yards passing or 250 yards rushing? I think 300 yards passing this week. Just because Nebraska's only allowing like 116 yards rushing a game or something like that. Granted, some of the other teams that Michigan's facing are in the same, you know, is faced this year, are kind of in the same boat. But I could see the passing game take off because they're a little bit worse at defending the pass. I think people are going to try to stop Michigan's run game at all costs. Over under passing touchdowns 2.5. I'll go over. Yeah, we'll go with the over. Jonathan Joseph at JJoseph 2156 finishing us out in segment one with the leaders and best. Are Wilson and Johnson going to grab the number one and number two wide receiver jobs, or with the depth could this week be the other two or three other guys? I mean, don't forget about Dalen Baldwin. He's been starting opposite Cornelius Johnson, so I think it's Dalen, and Dalen's the number two guy. Wilson, and we'll address this in a minute, kind of, but we'll see how his health is, if he's able to go or not. Then obviously, I think AJ Henning's going to play a more prominent role. They're gonna have to get some of those other guys going. Sainristil, we forget about Sainristil, man. He's been playing great lately. So he has been playing great. All right, let's continue on momentarily before we do. Hey guys, there are a few things in life that just aren't fun to talk about. One of them is excessive sweating. You know, when you're sweating through your shirts for no reason, it's embarrassing, right? Some of you may know I've personally have dealt with this. When I speak in public, I can't help but sweat through my shirt. Now listen, I know this is not life or death, and there are much worse problems in the world, but let's be honest, in the moment, it feels like a big deal. Nobody likes to pet out during an important speech, interview, or first date, God forbid. I'd much rather would not worry about it, and that's why I use Sweatblock antiperspirant wipes. Sweatblock is stronger and more effective than most clinical antiperspirants. You simply apply it at night before bedtime, go to bed. The next morning, you wake up, wash, and go about your day without worrying about sweat. Guaranteed. I know this will sound too good to be true, but I literally only have to use Sweatblock once or twice a week, and it keeps me dry the whole time. No more pitting out, no more picking my shirts based on which one will hide sweat better. If you or someone you love is dealing with this, you have to check out Sweatblock. Get it today for 20% off at sweatblock.com with the promo code LOCKEDON or at Amazon or CVS. All right, let's continue on. So many in the Victor's Valiant. New people promoted. Some people should be in here that are in segment three, but I mean, I can't have a 30-minute segment two. So, is what it is. Welcome back, Jim, at Jim in the North. Do you think if Michigan wins at Nebraska, will help shake some who say Michigan isn't good on the road at night, or will naysayers keep moving the goalposts? What do you think? They're going to keep moving the goalposts. Until Michigan beats Ohio State, everything that's been said about Michigan will continue. Michigan could go 11-1 and lose by 1 point to Ohio State, and all of the same things we've been saying. Let's say Michigan State on the road is almost certainly going to be a top 10 game when that comes. If Michigan beats them, it's going to be the same narrative, right? I mean, there will be a little bit of like, well, this is different, and you know, but it's like, oh, but how good was Michigan State really? Everything gets downgraded when Michigan does it. It's just how it is. Any whispers about how good of a leader Cade is on the field? I mean, I don't write a lot about it, but we talk incessantly about it at press conferences. I mean, yes, he's a very good leader. Had a lot this week about his leadership and how he doesn't, like, you know, dig into guys, but certainly, you know, lifts people up, that kind of thing. They really believe in him. You know, regardless of what JJ does, that this team really believes in JJ, and he certainly is captain-type material. They just went with all seniors this year. Do you think Cade has a higher ceiling than Jay Patterson? I don't think he has a higher ceiling. I think he has a higher floor. I think that that's that's the difference. And Patterson, again, remember, was very injured. I know I'm biased. I literally talked to Shea a couple times this week. But I do think that he can do... See, here's the thing. I, for some reason, rewatched the 2018 Ohio State game over the weekend. I was working. I had YouTube on. I had watched watched Joel Klatt and his YouTube video for an article. And then it goes to the 2018 Ohio State game for some reason. And I didn't turn it off. And I think people forget how good Patterson was. Even though they got blown out in that game, before Patterson's injury, I mean, he was doing a lot of really good things. And Michigan doesn't look like that offensively right now. And Shea was really good. So I think he's got a similar skill set. We haven't necessarily seen it yet. Shea would pull the ball, but he didn't do it as often outside of that three-game gauntlet. So you mentioned your old caddy quite a bit. What do you drive now, and do you like it? Yes, I number one, I hated my Cadillac CTS. I had a 2009 Cadillac CTS, and I hated it with fiery passion. As soon as the warranty went out, every single thing that could go wrong did. I had to fix it all the time. I have a Dodge Durango, 2017 Dodge Durango now, which I call Murder Bus, which started here on this podcast. I love it. It's amazing. I've had it for a year and a half. Has had zero problems. It's wonderful. It's wonderful to drive. It's had no problems whatsoever. Knock on wood. But it has been fantastic. Highly recommend it. Enchanted Pants at Enchanted Pants. Captain leadership seems to be playing an outsized role this year with Hutchinson, Rossum, Vestardis, and maybe Bell all likely leaving after the season. Bell probably no. But which players do you think are best suited to take up that battle? I guess I answered one of them, Cade McNamara. I'm assuming he doesn't just start showing his inner Tom Brady. He would be one of them. Let me think. Who else would be? I could see Nakai Hill-Green being that guy. He seems like he's got a little bit of that of it in him. Trying to think of some other players on the defense, maybe. It's usually not corners. Corners are a different breed. Corners and receivers tend to not be captains. That's just a thing. I mean, I know Ronnie Bell is, but they just tend not to be. I could see Blake Corum also in year three being that guy. He seems to have that, you know, lead by example type deal. I could see, what's his face? What's his name? Zach Zinter being that guy. I could see. I think that's about it. I think that's all I got. Hutch of the Dead at Hutch of the Dead. Is Cade able to shoulder the passing game if we find ourselves needing to turn to it more? He seemed to struggle early in that Wisconsin game. He did struggle early, but he was close. So I think like those are teachable things. He was late most of the time. So, and you're in a hostile environment for the first time. You're playing the number two defense in the country. You know, it's, I can see that was some nerves, right? He settled in eventually. We'll see. I don't want to say yes and then him not. And I don't want to say no and then look like a fool either way. I think we'll see. I think he acquitted himself well against an extremely tough defense. You know, the best defense that Michigan's going to face all year, bar none. So I think it was a good sign. It was a good step in the right direction. You can't expect him to, even though he was missing some open passes, you can't expect him to hit them all in general, especially against a defense like that. You know, it's just like when Michigan's got a really good defense, you see it all the time that guys miss passes. And part of it's the pressure of, you know, for the quarterback, whether it's like internal pressure or legitimate pressure coming at them. I think that Cade's doing a good job right now. And yeah, do we want to see more? Absolutely. Would like to see that get up to like, you know, 250 something yards instead of like 192. And I know that was combined, but you know, I'd like to see Cade have a couple 250 yard games, you know, a 300 yard game. That'll make everything feel better. I mean, we forget how good he looked against Rutgers, you know, granted tail of the tape is out. That changes things, but yeah. Mark Z at Mark Zimke. I listened to you do a deep dive on stats on Wednesday's podcast. Now I am curious. Tuesday's podcast. I'm confusing myself. Now I'm curious if there are stats that do account for garbage time, because that skews the data for a lot of teams. Also, are you a fan of Inflames? I actually never listened to Inflames. I've never heard them. Maybe I should. Send me a DM. Tell me why I should. Or send me a song. that I should listen to. I have Apple Music, where you can send me YouTube. Not that I've seen anything that accounts for garbage time. There should be, because yeah, that certainly Michigan's defense tends to give up a touchdown in garbage time. Michigan, you know, obviously, you know, last couple possessions aren't necessarily trying to score, just trying to run out clock, things like that. So certainly there that should be accounted for, but it's obviously not. This team is better than it's shown because it's just dominated everyone it's played except for one half against Rutgers. Jacob Heminger at Heminger Jacob, is Nebraska being overhyped for staying close with probably the worst Oklahoma team in 7 years, or going to overtime with an MSU team with a defense and O-line that's showing massive holes? Oklahoma is 63rd in total offense and 50th on defense. That is a huge drop-off because they were number one or number two in the top five almost every year. MSU is 38th on offense and 104th on defense. Their pass defense is atrocious. Michigan is 36th on offense and 9th in defense. I'm assuming you're going with scoring on those, because I know that Michigan, I think Michigan was 14th in total defense with yards. I think they're being hyped partially, but I mean, they're playing close with everybody so far. That said, I mean, I still expect a Michigan win. I think my score prediction was like 42-24 or something like that. I think that Nebraska will move the ball probably better than any team we've seen this year. The offense is legitimate, but and I don't think that and Michigan's going to be easily the toughest team it's faced, because I don't think that much of Oklahoma right now. I mean, we'll see more about Oklahoma when they play Texas, but I don't think much of Texas either. Certainly, but you know, that's the thing, is you play the games on your schedule. It's a night game. It's a week after Wisconsin, so some people think it's a trap game. I don't think this team's approaching it like that. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be tough, I think. But I do think that this Nebraska is going to win stuff seems really weird to me. It's just no faith for Michigan. You play the games on your schedule. Turns out that Western Michigan has a defense. I think they're 24th in the country. They haven't played a good offense, though. Michigan hasn't. All the offenses are in the bottom half. That's the difference. And the fact that Nebraska's defense is probably not being as hyped as it should, because it's done a really good job against those teams. I think maybe the offense is being overhyped because it's had blowouts against Fordham, Buffalo, and Northwestern. But all the other games against, they face a tough defense. It's not the same. Still going to be a challenge for this defense. Adam Kasel at Adam _ Kasel. How bad is Nebraska if Michigan wins? How overrated is Michigan if Nebraska wins? Yes. 100% yes. Were you surprised to see JJ when JJ was in the game, when the game was still on the line? Do you think we see more of this each game going forward? I know I have another question on that, but I was surprised, you know, like, second half, right away, first snap on offense. Third down, Cade comes in, and they bring him right back out there. You know, it's I was surprised. I certainly thought that I certainly thought that they were not going to burn his red shirt. And we'll get to that momentarily, but it's pretty clear that, I mean, he's hit his four games. That red shirt's gone, man. It's gone this week, guaranteed. So, yeah, I do think that we are going to see more of him. Congratulations, you were supposed to be in the next tier, and you're not. So, I don't remember ever asking any, answering questions from you, but BW at BW2623, does the coaching staff and players take the MSU rivalry as seriously as OSU? Just the reason why I say that, by the way, is the people who ask questions every week get into the second tier. The people who have asked questions literally every week get to be in that leaders and best. And then the people who intermittently ask questions usually aren't up here. So apologies to those below you who are anxiously awaiting your turn. But a slip of the of my notes here. As far as does the coaching staff and players take the MSU rivalry as seriously as OSU? I mean, no, and they shouldn't. But it's kind of like as Aiden Hutchinson said at Big Ten Media Days. If we prepare every day for Ohio State, then beating MSU, because he was asked, like, what about MSU? He's like, we prepare for Ohio State, then we'll beat MSU because Ohio State is the king of the hill. No, they do not. They have never treated Michigan State the way they have Ohio State. But I think that some years it's meant more. You know, 2018, 2016. You know, I think when you come off of some of the games they've come off, just like this year, coming off the game last year, once that week comes, they're going to be lathered up and fired up and ready to go in a way that they weren't last year. But there are not, like, what are you doing to beat Michigan State signs around Schembechler Hall. No. AJK at AJK4UM. Same question I've asked elsewhere. If Michigan plays at Nebraska to the same level of effort and execution as at Wisconsin, do they win or lose? I believe they win, and if they get a little better on certain points, it's going away. Thoughts? 100%. If Michigan plays exactly as it did against Nebraska, as it did against Wisconsin, Nebraska's not going to be scoring at all, and Michigan's going to, yeah, I mean, Michigan played with incredible effort, incredible detail and execution. I think they'd win if they play like that for the rest of the season. They'll win all of their games, including Ohio State. I think that they played really good except for one drive, really. So the one drive, yeah, you don't want to let a 15, you know, Wisconsin is not known to be a fast scoring team, and Graham Mertz had two NFL caliber throws that you might not see for the rest of the season from anybody. So, yes, I do think that if Michigan plays the same level of effort and execution against Wisconsin this week, they'll win, like you said, going away. I have them 42-24 because I expect that now because they've done it every half except for one. Rob Anto at Rob Anto 1. Wisconsin was such an emotional win. Do you expect there to be a little bit of a letdown this week? Not with this team. They're still, we haven't done anything. And I know that that's just, you know, the thing that you say to reporters, but I think that they believe it. I feel like I believe that they believe it. They know, like, that the Cinderella story that has happened this year comes crashing down the moment that they lose. You know, and they've said that. They say, we know that the moment we lose this year, it's going to be like, yep, same old Michigan. They never learned a lesson, you know? And annoyingly, it probably would even, if they were in the college football playoff and they lose, which would probably happen, you know, depending on who they're playing, that I think the same narrative would apply there even. Be like, yeah, Michigan just wasn't ready for primetime. You know, it's like, all right, but what were they before? So, yeah, I think that I don't think that there's going to be a letdown. Michigan Salt at Pelham 123 and ask confirm or deny Roman Wilson broken hand rumor, part alternation mark, Wisconsin lost on purpose, rainbow flag at Michigan _ Ohio. How's Roman Wilson? To be honest, I don't know. I don't ask injury questions anymore. I haven't for years. But it seems there's the broken hand thing appears like it's like that was overblown. Appears like that there is some truth to the fact that he has some kind of injury. But we'll see. I don't know if it precludes him from playing or not. But, yeah, I keep out of the injury business unless it's, like, absurd, like the Zach Charbonnet one a couple years ago where it was just so absurd. Usually how this works, by the way, is someone comes out and starts looking like they're your best player, and then suddenly there's injury news, right? Zach Charbonnet going into Wisconsin, coming out of Army. It you know, Roman Wilson has a career day, and then suddenly it's that. To me, like I said that to another reporter, I'm like, it's typical with the Michigan rumor mill that's how it goes. Hey, we have a breakout player. He's injured. Sometimes it's true. Tariq Black. But I'm sure that there's something to it. I don't know the extent of it. I'll let you know from the ground in Lincoln. Zach at Zach Woodruff 3. Do you think the plan is to ease JJ in as a starter with these snaps or more of get him ready just in case? It's the latter, because when we asked about that, it was they were left kind of up a creek without a paddle last year. Granted, it worked out having Cade, but I mean, they went into the season initially, you know, during they didn't have spring ball, but in the summer and, you know, summer workouts, the idea that it was going to be a battle between Joe Milton and Dylan McCaffrey, and then that Dylan opts out, decides to transfer. Joe doesn't end up being as good as, advertised, was what he was in game one. And then after that, was whatever. So, yeah, it. I think that it's more get him ready because you don't want to be, if especially if this team continues on their trajectory, you don't want to just lose it all. Have your guy ready in case something happens to Cade. Ryan at IM3LAC, the way Junior Colson is playing, do you think they burn his red shirt? 100%. I think he's probably, I didn't look up Junior. I'm going to do it now. Thanks to our trusty friends at Pro Football Focus. Love that they have snap counts. Highly recommend premium snaps if you're interested in that sort of thing. He's already burnt his red shirt. Red shirt's burnt. He's played 5 games. Junior Colson's red shirt is gone. So, there you go. Jacob Javeria, Jacob17213950. Say Michigan goes 8-4. Do they keep Jim or go with someone like Fickell? Is it crazy to think Urban intentionally started all this drama so he can resign and say he's focusing on his marriage just so he can take the USC job without admitting on that he's a terrible NFL coach? The latter one, I don't think it's crazy because I think Urban is smart like a fox. It wouldn't surprise me. I think if Michigan goes 8-4, it depends on what the 8-4 is. But no, and I think Matt Campbell would probably be. I mean, Matt Campbell wants the Michigan job something fierce. But no, I think if they go 8-4, chances are, unless it's just another just dominant win for Ohio State and Michigan looks like a deer in headlights, which I don't anticipate this year thanks to the defensive changes. I think that Harbaugh is probably safe, keeping in mind that still overachieving compared to what most people were thinking that Michigan was going to be, would be underachieving on the back end of the schedule because that would mean just 3 more wins. You have to assume that those 3 more wins would come against Northwestern, Indiana, Maryland, and or Nebraska. So that would be bad. Unrefined pirate American football basketball musical score. Bunch of emojis in there. I love how it translates them. At 20 Roar. Number one, we've had an abundance of analysis on the offense and defense. Give a special teams grade up to this point in the season. I mean, it's a resounding A. Resounding A. It's been phenomenal. The special teams has been just fantastic. That's been, the special teams has made play after play. Week one, Blake Corum, you know, what he was able to do with the blocking has been phenomenal. AJ Hennings looked phenomenal. The only reason they're not an A-plus is because while they were trying to get AJ Henning ready, Caden Colasar was able to catch the ball, but he wasn't giving returns. They're returning well. They're not allowing much on kick or punt. One missed field goal so far. That's going to happen. It's been great. Number two, how much confidence do you have in the coordinators to make halftime adjustments when the opposing team has a lead? I don't know because we haven't seen it. We haven't seen a team have a lead yet. I couldn't tell you. I don't know Mike McDonald enough as a coordinator. Still with a 13-10 lead over Wisconsin, heck of an adjustment right out the gates. Only allowed one more touchdown in garbage time. Wisconsin couldn't do anything. Knocked Graham Mertz right out the game. So, yeah, I couldn't tell you, though, because I don't know. In Gattis, that's incomplete at this stage. We've seen Michigan pile on in the latter half of games more often than not, so I think he's probably doing well, but we just haven't seen it this year. And this is a different year. Finishing us out in segment two, Chase Glasser via Instagram. Agree about everything you said regarding the offense, defense, and Nebraska being a deeply informative game. With that said, anything of the Roman Wilson wrist rumors? Obviously, I just addressed that, but if so, Henning and Sanders still well-equipped to pick up the slack. Feels like it makes a lack of a QB run game that much more deleterious. On the lack of a QB run game, is there a fix? Emgo had McNamara as a 3 out of 10 on making the correct move on zone reads. Really nerfs the offense when the QB isn't a threat to get free yards. I don't know if... I feel like they're just telling McNamara don't run for the most part. I mean, he's ran a couple times. Kind of reminds me of Shea in 2018 until they got to the Wisconsin game. I feel like they're like, if we don't need it, we're not going to use it. At some point, they're going to need it. And I think that's why JJ's out there, because I feel like they feel like he's a better equipped runner as it is. As far as the wide receivers, I mean, yes. I think I'm higher on Henning than I am Roman Wilson anyway, personally. And I'm higher on Sanders still than most of the general populace. And he's looked fantastic so far this year. He hasn't been leaned on that much for catching. He's been fantastic at blocking, but you look at his routes and things of that nature. When I've paid attention, he's been great. All right. Let us continue on after a 20-minute segment two. RockAuto.com is a family business. They've been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. If your stupid Cadillac breaks down like mine used to, you can go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules to brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet, whether it's for your classic or daily driver. Get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique. It's also remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle. Choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, and they're the same for professionals and for do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to RockAuto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Right locked on in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. All right, all eyes are also on the gridiron as teams are back for another football season. We got Houston Tulane going right now. It's 14-6. Exciting. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With a new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline continues to be the number one source for everything football. So head to betonline.ag. Sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Don't forget to use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, we're going to finish this out. A couple people in here probably should have been in the top bracket, but there's like 10 questions left. This is a long one. Very sleepy on my station, as we used to say in the restaurant. Very sleepy. And look at Tulane, two-point attempt, 14-8. Yes, I have a TV on where you can't see it. Anyhow, Will Mendoza at Willie Will 9. To me, Nebraska isn't a trap game. They are a legitimate foe. They've out-hit or outgained every opponent except Oklahoma, but more surprising is that they also held Oklahoma to three total TDs and kept Kenneth Walker III bottled up. Is Nebraska's defense overlooked? I'm sorry that I basically answered your question earlier, but 100%, and you gave me some details that I was unaware of. 100%. 100%. So I do think that the defense is being overlooked. I think that Nebraska's got a really good defense, and like I said, it's a tough test on both ends. But I think Nebraska's defense, I know transitive property doesn't work, but Nebraska defense is not as tough as Wisconsin's. Michigan can do some things against Wisconsin. It's going to be able to do some things against Nebraska. That said, I don't expect either a 300-yard passing game nor a 250-yard rushing game. You know, Anoop_Shaw. How do we convince the team that the entire offensive line and linebacking core need to rock the neck rolls would be such an intimidating look, 90s vibes? That would be great, right? It is an intimidating look. I forgot to ask Josh Ross how he felt about wearing that, but yeah, it's certainly old school football, and that's what this Michigan team seems to look like. On offense, at least. On defense, it's not old school. It's modern. It's very modern. Tyler at T_Force1. Welcome back, my brother. Is the usage or lack thereof AJ Henning on offense a bit of a red flag about his overall outlook as a player? He's electric whenever he touches the ball, but it seems it's either usually a run or return, not many two receiving plays / routes. I think it's still probably just a work in progress and maybe saving it up a little bit, getting the other guys involved. You know, Roman Wilson's probably a hair above him on the depth chart. They like using him, AJ, on jet sweeps and things like that. We don't know what he's like catching the ball except for on punts, and that's its own thing. So I don't think it's a red flag, but I think it's I think we'll probably see him more going forward regardless, because I think he's just you got to get the ball in his hands one way or another. Marcus Brown at mbrown675. What do you think is a recipe for victory? Run and avoid long balls against Washington, pass more against Wisconsin, blindly keep running up the middle and going nowhere in the second half against Rutgers, etc. I've enjoyed watching so far successful versatility. In this game, I think it's probably just having a good balance, keeping Nebraska on its heels, kind of the same way that it was against Wisconsin. Change things up. Don't necessarily go for it right away on fourth downs the way that Michigan did, because Nebraska, certainly, they've seen it on tape. They're going to be ready for it. Unless you have some bread and butter plays we haven't seen, which certainly they have. But you know what? Here's the thing. The success, the key for success, is outstanding line play, and Michigan has it. Nebraska doesn't. On the defense, it does. On the offense, it doesn't. Outstanding line play and keep contain of Adrian Martinez. That's the biggest thing to me. Keep contain of Adrian Martinez. Pressure him, but then get him. Get him down. Don't let him just, and if he's going to throw it away, you know, look at his tendencies. He's thrown some interceptions. So, be ready for it. You're going to have to contain him, because you don't want to get back there and then have him break one. Furkinator at Furkinator 1. This Wisconsin game seems to be the first game where I saw the physicality really get dialed up from Dax Sack to Corum, banging heads in the box and standing up linebackers bigger than himself. You being around these guys, you think they can keep this up deep into the season? I don't see why not. You know, they're working hard in the weight room. Corum looks like an absolute beast, even though he's diminutive in status. I mean, we're almost halfway through the season, and they're still doing it. As long as everyone stays mostly healthy, yeah, I think they can keep doing it. Peter Johnson, part alternation mark. At PA Johnson 587. If JJ continues to make big plays and shows improvement each week, does he eventually start this year? Probably not, no. Unless Cade just tanks. Cade's done everything that they've wanted him to do so far. People got to remember that. And as Matt Weiss said last week, like, let's make no mistake about it. Cade earned this job over JJ. He earned it. They feel more confident being able to win with JJ. Or sorry, Cade. JJ's going to have his time. No reason to rush it, you know? Michigan's winning. There's no reason to rush to get the more dynamic guys. Is starting to become Brady Henson all over again. Michigan's armchair quarterback at armchair QB _UM. Every week on Monday, I look at Michigan's next opponent and say, this should be an easy one, no contest. And then as the week goes on and listening to podcasts and such, I feel this could be a trap game. It's a toss-up. Or is it just me, or are we all nervous come Saturdays? I think a lot of it has to do with what happened last few years, right? You haven't seen Michigan just blow through everybody like it did in 2016, and 2018 doesn't count because they lost the first game, and we until you got to that Wisconsin game and Michigan did what it did against the Badgers, people were still very leery of what Michigan was going to be able to do. Yes, Michigan, like, destroyed Nebraska. That was, like, a feel-good moment. Then they go on the road at Northwestern, and it's like everyone thought it was a bad Northwestern team because you don't know anything early in the season. And, suddenly it's a bunch of question marks. How it goes. But, yeah, I mean, I get it because, you know, I've been looking at Nebraska as an easy win all year, and now Nebraska is 3-3, and it's the record doesn't tell you exactly how good they are. I think this is going to be a tougher contest than people think, but I still think Michigan should win. Alex Garbarino at Dr. Garbs. Anything other than a functional passing game going to get the ground game back to where it was? No, because they'll load the box. There will be a numbers advantage. They're not going to run 350 yards a game. Now that everyone sees it coming, you don't want to be one of those teams anymore. So, yeah, you're gonna have to pass the ball more. And I mean, passing the ball more might mean like NIU 17 passes, might be as little as that, as long as there's high efficiency. Might mean like the Wisconsin game, but you're gonna have to back some people off in order to be able to do it. Harry Dieters at Harry Dieters. Would love to hear some of your thoughts on the announcement of President Schlissel stepping down. What does this mean for athletics, football in particular? And as a former student, your views. Ding dong, the witch is dead. Is that correct to say? Yeah, that's how I feel. I've told you guys on the podcast before, well, a year before I was in the media, when I had no idea I could be in the media, I met with Schlissel at a alumni association mixer right before he took the post. It was supposed to be a meet and greet. It happened to be the week that the Shane Morris incident happened and the Dave Brandon letter. It was like 2 days after the Dave Brandon letter, and it was the book Cadillac in Detroit. And I met, you know, I was probably the first person to go up to him because I have that type of audacity. And I say, what are you doing about, going to do about this situation? He didn't want to hear it. And everything I've heard about Schlissel is he just does not care at all about athletics. So if you get someone who prioritizes it, like a Mary Sue Coleman type, I think that it would be good to have everything in alignment, right? Because I think that's how you build a winning culture. You know, you look at Ohio State, football matters there. Ohio State takes itself seriously as an academic institution now, more so than it ever has. You need to have that top-down mentality. Aaron Bryant at DJ_UM. Do you think JJ's role on read option plays will become a staple because Cade isn't a threat on keepers? I don't know. We'll see. We will see. Finishing us out, football fan at T-Hound. 177-648. Besides Martinez, does Nebraska have a game-changing playmaker on offense? I actually haven't written my preview yet, and I haven't watched a lot of Nebraska. I don't have a good answer for you. We'll look right now to see. Because, like, Oliver Martin's only played 2 games. I did look that up earlier. But, I mean, their main guy is Samari Toure, the senior wide receiver, 23 receptions. He averages 21 yards per catch. Got 3 TDs. He's got to look out for. Xavier Betts, freshman wide receiver with 13 for 187. And Omar Manning, 12 for 176. Those are the guys to pay attention to in the passing game. Running behind Adrian Martinez, Ramir Johnson, freshman running back, who's averaging 4.2 yards per carry, 55 carries for 231 yards. He's the number 2 ball carrier behind Martinez. And then Marquise Stepp, formerly of Indianapolis Cathedral. He went to the same high school as former Michigan commit, Alabama player, Emil Ekior. Then he went to USC for a minute. Sophomore running back, 36 carries, 159 yards, 4.4. So those would be your guys. Yes, I know y'all can read a box score, but I'm going to do it live. So that'll do it. We are at 47 minutes. Like I said, didn't quite get to the 50-minute mark, but close. Anyway, thank you for listening. We'll be back with the preview on Friday. And by the time that the video is out on this, because I'm sure it's going to take forever to render it, that'll probably be out on Friday too. But nonetheless, we'll be back with Jake Butt on Friday to preview the Nebraska game. So we will talk to you soon. Thank you for listening and or watching. Peace.